Good morning, beautiful people. I'm Babs Ross Ivy. Welcome to Love Babs Love Talk. That's Harry Droz. Happy Indigenous Acknowledgement Heritage Month. We have a few more days. I just want you to see. Can you see this?
She leaves a little sparkle wherever she goes.
Yes. You know what this is, Harry? These are little sachets. You know, you put in your drawers and you put wherever you want a little scent. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah. It's not for consumption because, you know, they got to tell you on the back, don't eat this. Keep out of reach of children. Don't let your pets get it. You know, you have to tell people, Harry, because they'll just think, oh, I can eat this. No, you can't. Don't do it.
It's like Pop Rocks.
Yeah. or Tide colorful pods.
Tide pods.
People want to eat them. I'm like, no, what? Isn't there enough candy in the candy store without eating Tide? How was your weekend? How was the season of Thanksgiving?
It went well.
Was there some doubt? You said it with a little bit of doubt, like, I'm surprised.
Oh, no, it's just that it wasn't in my house for the first time. And
oh, that's right. How's your daughter? She's standing?
She's
like, I'm not doing this again.
But no, it went really well. A lot of food.
Of course.
My favorite was the banana pudding cake.
Banana pudding cake?
Yeah, banana pudding cake.
Oh, Lord, Harry. Did you make that or somebody brought that?
No. I was going to say my daughter's friend, but she's like almost a daughter. So, you know, she made it. She's in culinary school. So she made a banana pudding cake.
Was it delicious, Harry?
It was freaking delicious. It was freaking delicious. And I took... After I took the first bite, I went and I declared a good portion of the cake mine. And I said, grab this piece of cake here, put it to the side, put it in a container, because this piece is going home with me. So, yeah. I actually just finished it yesterday. Delicious. Delicious. I haven't even tasted the apple pie that she brought also. So... I was just focused on that, but banana pudding cake.
We all have our important parts of the Thanksgiving meal.
That's right. But I have the apple pie, a big piece of apple pie in my refrigerator. So,
well, the Mohegan Sun being on Indigenous land was great. We had dinner at Todd English, Tuscany. Which, you know, had the loudest water wall you ever want to hear in your life. So we ate inside of the restaurant, not outside. But it was good. I mean, they had a traditional Thanksgiving menu. Turkey stuffing, cranberry sauce, Brussels sprouts, the whole nine. And I ate everything. And I had dessert. The vaccine has given me this window of opportunity to eat things and not be fearful of dying. It's been really nice, Harry. And then we went to a hash house, a go-go. I ate everything. But the dessert at Tuscany, Harry, was some kind of pecan caramel cake. It was bread pudding, pecan bread pudding. Harry, it was so rich, I felt like my teeth were going to fall out. But I ate all of it and I didn't die. That's like every 6 months, I think I'm gonna have to get a vaccine, Harry, because I like this newfound superpower.
Oh, well, don't worry. It's going to be at least every 6 months.
I know. I'm like, everybody, welcome to my world. Because I'm telling you, Harry, when I have, you know, COVID mirrors the episodes that I have when I get dairy, does the same thing in the body. It does the same thing. It creates so much mucus. I can't breathe. I get sick, weak. The muscles hurt. The veins contract. And then I get cardiomyopathy. which, you know, your heart gets all stupid. It took me a year to get my heart back right. A year on medicine. But now with the vaccine, Harry, superpower. I don't want to tell people too much because I haven't tried like mac and cheese or cheese pizza. I'm afraid to do that because I don't, you know, they told me to just ease into stuff. Don't go crazy. I was like, okay, because I don't want to be wound up in the hospital and then have to explain to them, I don't have COVID. I have this. And then at the pool, you know, because they'll treat you before they pull your records, Harry. You know how they do you. You get in there and then they start treating you. And then they're like, oh, it says in your records. Oh, yeah. I tried to tell you, but you were so fast. Anyway. It was a good weekend, Harry. It was a good, you know, we drove up. It was a beautiful day to drive up. It was, the suite was gorgeous. I mean, it was just lovely. You know, you felt like you were in a New York apartment, like a swanky Upper East Side New York apartment. It had a powder room in the suite. Like the two bedrooms had their own bathrooms, but then there was a powder room. I've never been in a hotel where they, in a suite where they had a powder room. So if you had guests, they wouldn't be in your living space. Then they wouldn't be in your private space. It was really nice. Beautiful appointed bathroom. The views of the river were stunning. We took pictures. We ate good. We walked around. We shopped. It was great. I had a Sephora gift card for my birthday. Because God knows when I'll ever find another Sephora. So I went and I shopped, bought a little stuff. Bought a little something. It was really nice. And then we went to Lush. Bought some more shower body things. It was great. It was nice. Ife and Markeisha went to the pool, but it was rampant with children and their drunk ass parents. Harry, they had a pool and then there's a bar by the pool. So guess where the parents were? Here, kid, get in the water. I'm going over here to have a margarita. Or mojito, or whatever the hell you have.
It's like that, though, in most places. Whenever we go on vacation, that's why it's almost always like that. Or the parents are in some corner getting all their drinks.
Yeah.
And the kids are all...
I ain't mad at them. I don't trust parents who don't drink. Well, I mean, I trust you, Harry, because you don't drink, but...
Don't worry, because I'm the one who would save your child. So
that's right. Somebody's got to do the saving. Don't depend on me, though. I'll throw a ring out there. Listen, kid, get the ring. I know, harsh, terrible. It's all right. I got up this morning, Harry. I was prepared. I got up. I read a little bit because I'm reading 400 Years. So I'm reading that. And, I got up, I made some coffee, I read a little bit. I was going to journal, but I didn't have a journal handy. Well, the journal that I have, I don't really want to use that one. So I'm going to find another one and put it by the bed so I could go back to journaling in the morning before I get out of bed. I used to love to do that. It gave me a sense of calmness. So anyway, I got up, I read a little bit, I made coffee. That's the point. I made coffee, Harry, this morning, a pot of coffee. Yes. So, you know what? Stephen Sondheim passed. You know, Stephen Sondheim, Harry, from the musical theater, Into the Woods. And Carousel, West Side Story, and you know, all the company, all the musical theater. He passed. It was 91. It got me to thinking about, do I want to live to be 91 to 100? Do I want that? He was in good shape. I mean, he, you know, Mel Brooks is still alive. I really think it's something about Jewish folks.
That guy really has to be a trip right now. So.
Who? He's working on History of the World Part 2. I was watching him this morning on Good Morning America with
You're kidding.
Yeah.
He's still working?
Yeah, he's working on History of the World Part 2 for Hulu.
That
he's got a book out too. All about me.
In cancel culture, he's gonna do part two? I don't think so. It's gonna be a really cleaned up version of Mel Brooks. Because you saw part one, right?
Yes. And all of the things.
And it had no chill.
And the producers or Springtime. Well, the producers was Hitler, Springtime with Hitler, Springtime and Hitler, or Hitler Springtime. But they changed it to the producers, which I thought was hilarious. I mean, I'm a huge Mel Brooks fan. Like I'm a Mel Brooks fan.
Me too, but you know, I don't see how he translates to this generation.
I think he will. I mean, he's smart. I mean, sophisticated humor is always going to play well. You know, he don't got to cuss you out to be funny. That's what I like about him. He's funny. He's funny, like, observationally funny. Like, he could notice things in the world, and it's funny. So, Robin Williams was like that, too. You know, they would observe things and find the humor in them. I love that. So, anyway, so Stephen Sondheim passed. I hope I taped. I wanted to watch Lady Gaga and Tony Bennett on their last concert. You know, when I think they were at Radio Music Hall or somewhere. And because, you know, he has Alzheimer's and he's, although he has not forgotten words to songs, Harry, he is in decline. They don't want him touring anymore. I was like, you know, they should put him in a supper club in New York, stand him up by a piano and let him do his thing until he can't do it. Because, I don't think he's going to enjoy wandering around the house, Harry, with nothing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sad.
You know, but you know, he lived a long life. Yeah. I don't want to I want to live with all my faculties intact. So I have to figure this out, Harry. Whatever potions I have to take, supplements, I'm going to start now. Get the brain tight. Do word searches.
I still haven't bought Prevagen to try it. I see that commercial every day. And it's
I know. I tried to do the reviews, but I'm not seeing anything.
No, you know, I was reading an article on how 93% or something like that of all reviews are fake.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
oh
what?
Boy. Yeah, but they that sure sucks. Make you feel good.
I know that sucks. So really though, the only review you should listen to is are the bad reviews, because right, those wouldn't be faked.
Yeah. Unless it's fake to give you the sense that somebody's reviewing it for real, but they're not. There's layers to this thing, Harry. Layers.
That young designer died also this
year. I know! The first brother that... man, Harry, that was painful. I have been watching his meteoric rise.
Meteoric. You're like Karen. She throws she messes up a word and now I don't even know how to say it.
Meteoric rise. and you know, he was quite fashionable. Like I just loved his style. I followed him from the very beginning. So when I saw that he died, I was like, are they talking about the right guy? Harry is 41. But he was fighting cancer for a good while.
Yeah, 41. Artistic director of Louis Vuitton menswear, yeah. As well as a founder of his brand, his own brand, Off-White.
Yeah.
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 That's messed up. 41.
Assuming we don't have a lot of time, Harry. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't have a lot. I mean, we just don't. So to waste it is just wasteful. I think that's probably why I like the Trip to Light Fantastic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's why I try to suck in everything. Not to exhaustion. I don't run to exhaustion. You know. But if I had a choice to sit home or go hear live music, I'm choosing live music. You know, if I have a choice to go hang out with my friends in a fancy restaurant, I'm choosing that.
Yeah, his wife put a quote out of his. He said, the way he lived was, everything I do is for the 17-year-old version of myself.
Oh, we should all have that. Oh my God, Harry, we should all have that as our driving force. I'm just saying. You know, if there's opportunity for me to drink champagne in a slipper, I'm doing it. Now, I'm not bungee jumping off anything, Harry. I'm not rock climbing the Himalayas. I'm not doing any of that kind of stuff. That, to me, that's just flirting with the death that I'm not interested in. And I'm not. I am a Taurus. I'm a creature of habit and comfort. I'm just saying. So, but anyway, shout out to all the people who got through Thanksgiving under difficult circumstances. You know, maybe people separated from their family, their loved ones. Maybe they lost people. You know, we sometimes have to remember that people are under a great deal of stress, and just acknowledge that, right? That people are feeling some kind of way. So that's all I'm saying. But I had a good time. It was great to be with my friends. We always travel well together. It was great. My friend Ann Mazzaro lost her husband this weekend, Michael. So my heart goes out to her. I talked to her several times this weekend. You know, he was sick. He was sick for quite some time. But I don't think she expected him to go this quickly. But he passed. And the service is going to be December 6th here in New Haven. They live in Wilmington now. So the service is going to be, a high mass. So I just wanted to acknowledge that, say that, because she is my dear, dear friend. And, you know, just talking to her several times this weekend, I mean, her heart is really, really broken. But, you know, life is here to, death is here to remind us that life is livable. So, as you know, what I like to say, Harry, sorrows and celebration exist on the same page. We have the capacity for all of it, at any given time,
That's rough. We have the capacity for all of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you hear all the time how God doesn't give you more than you could handle. And it's like, man, I don't want to be able to handle anything then.
Yeah. I'm always telling God, stop. No more. No mas. No mas.
It's like, how much more can I handle?
Don't ask that.
You're right.
That's the conjuring. Don't ask. Just say, done.
That's like saying Beetlejuice three times.
or Candyman. That's another one I don't fool with either. I don't mess around with the trickery, Harry.
There's a new version of Candyman, by the way.
I know, and it's gotten good reviews, Harry.
I haven't seen it.
I'm not going to see it because scary things are just not my jam. I don't like to be on the edge of my seat, biting my nails, stressing my body, stressed the hell out. I mean, Get Out was about as far as I was willing to go.
Why would you be stressed out in a movie? You know, I remember.
Make me look crazy.
like Daisy. We were discussing this weekend how Daisy loves Annabelle and Chucky. You know, she has her own little Chucky doll. Her Chucky doll is almost her size, mm-hmm. And he looks like a demon, right?
Oh, boy.
And she carries it around. And I was thinking, because I remember when I first sat down with my daughter to watch a scary movie, and we thought, oh, this is really going to be scary. And because we sat down and watched The Shining. Ah! My daughter, she must have been like 7, 8 years old. And I remember first watching it with Karen, and Karen was shaking like a leaf. She was shaking, right? And for me, scary movies are the beginning of a joke. So, you know, watching Karen shake, I kind of found it funny, but, you know, I got to be her support and everything. But when I watched it with my daughter, and the little kid starts going, you know, with his finger.
Hey, yeah.
Red rum, red rum.
Yeah, my daughter started
murder
cracking
backwards.
Up. Yeah, my daughter started cracking up laughing. And I knew to myself, oh, my God, I found my spirit animal here, because she found it as funny as I did. So the whole movie, we watched it cracking jokes. My daughter, 7, 8-year-old, and my wife got upset because now we messed up the movie for her. Now The Shining was no longer scary. You know, so... Oh. And now, you know, I was thinking, where does Daisy get this from? But, you know, she gets it from her mother,
grandfather.
And me, right?
That wasn't a hard one.
Because Daisy finds it hilarious, the scary movies. It's like she doesn't think they're coming after her. She just thinks it's funny.
I don't think they're coming after me either, Harry. I don't know what it is. I just don't like to be scared. Listen, Harry, I get in the ocean, I still hear the Jaws music. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm still one of those people. Like, I hear the music, and I was like, all right, it's time for me to get out, because my anxiety is rising to the level of panic. Let me get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, the only movie that ever scared me like that was The Exorcist.
Yeah.
And it's
and The Omen. I thought The Omen was pretty scary too. And I read the book. I read The Omen because there's a bunch of them. And I read them.
Yeah.
There was a moment I was reading scary books, Harry. And then I think I read one. I think I read a Dean Koontz book, like 2 or 3 books in. And then that cured me because it scared me so bad I couldn't.
You know, Bella actually likes reading scary books, but she won't watch a movie.
Oh.
So it's weird. She doesn't want to visualize. She doesn't want to connect it. She said, I was like, but don't you in your imagination, doesn't it scare you reading?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, but I know it's fake because it's in a book. It's just, and I'm like, but it's fake. It's in a movie. She doesn't know. I just don't want to see it.
Yeah, I just don't want to see it. You know, you can. I feel her on that. I don't. Although I did like Carrie. Remember Carrie?
Yeah, yeah.
That didn't. I wasn't terrified of that. Carrie was fine. But those Friday the 13th, I don't like that whole come chase you mess. I don't like any of that. So Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street. Oh my God, that scared the crap out of me. The first one.
Jason ain't chasing you, by the way. He's speed walking.
Yeah, I know. I know, right, Harry? I'm like, why can't you get away from him? He's just walking.
I know.
And it's more menacing if they're walking, Harry. You know what I mean? Like,
I know. You're running full speed and he's walking and
he's still behind you. He still catches you. I'm like, I just want, you know what I want? I want somebody to just turn around and just fight. That's what I would have to do, Harry. I was like, you know what? These teenagers ain't running. I just have to turn around. We have to duke it out.
That's what I say. At my age and my mobility level, they ain't no running.
Mm-mm.
It's facing.
That's how I feel, Harry. There's no running. You just got to get it in. Like, listen, we're going to do this thing right here. You want to dance? We're going to dance right now. You have to kill me, because if you don't, I'm going to get you. So... I tell you what I did watch when I got back in town. I watched Halle Berry's movie Bruce. I loved it, Harry.
I didn't see it, but
oh, it's so good.
Was it?
Yes. She did a good job. She trained for 2 years for that. You would see it too.
Yeah.
I couldn't train for that role because the minute I got hit, Harry, I'm mad.
Well, I was reading an article on it, and they were saying that she told the real MMA fighters, don't fake it. Hit me.
And they did.
Yeah, it needs to look real.
I think she got her ribs broken or some old mess.
Yeah, she broke.
Mm-mm, that's too far for a role. I'd be like, oh, stunt.
I know.
That's why I'm not doing that kind of work. Because the minute I got hit, Harry, oh, it's on. I'm mad. I am literally mad. I'm like, oh my God, what? I'm picking up a chair. I'm throwing an iron, whatever. So, but it was good. I loved it. Andrew watched it over the weekend too. He texted me and he was like, ooh. I was like, I know. It's good, Harry. You got to see it. I think you'll dig it. I mean, I know people have some feelings about the beautiful Halle Berry and these kinds of roles, but she was, I thought she was quite believable and credible. I mean, she was gritty. I liked it.
And I think it's her first director.
Yeah.
Thing, right?
I thought it was good. I mean, of course, you know, every movie has its holes and its whatever. I mean, I didn't really care about that. I followed the story. I got the story. Were there parts of the story that I wanted more of or fleshed out? Yeah, but you know what, Harry? You only have 2 hours. You know, anybody making The Godfather, right? Which is like 8,000 hours. You got 2 hours to make a movie. You got to tell a story. Give the beginning, a middle, and an end. That's it. Nobody's going to sit in the movies for 3 hours unless it's, you know, Martin Scorsese. Because, you know, his movies as long as hell.
Yeah, you know, this weekend, Karen was going through the Turner Classic because it's part of HBO Max.
Yes.
So, and she's looking at movies. I want to see this old movie. I want to see that old movie. And I would look at it and it's like 3.5 hours. I'm like, I'm not sitting through this.
Oh, yes, you can, Harry. You can sit through 3.5. What's the difference of 3.5 in one movie or hour binge watching a series?
Well, yeah, we did that because we saw Dexter. I'm on season 8 of Dexter right now.
How many seasons are there?
Well, see, there's 8 seasons and now there's a new one.
Oh, so you caught up.
I'm caught up almost.
Okay. I'm not with that serial killer adulation.
No, but 3.5 hours of anything right now is just too much. Like when I see Scarface or, you know, I got favorite movies that are long. Godfather 2. When I see stuff like that, I know it's long, but now I have the control of a remote. I can fast forward through the boring scenes, the scenes that I feel are boring. So a 3.5 hour movie becomes a 1.5 hour movie. Mm. And I just pick the scenes. So, but not knowing what you're going into and it's 3.5 hours, that's too much.
You know, some movies are quite compelling. I mean, you know what? I'll sit through a Scorsese movie because I like mob movies. I know Italians don't like mob movies, but I dig the mob movies. I dig them.
That's because
I don't know what that says about me, but I dig them.
No, me too. Me too. I also like Mexican gangster movies. You don't.
I can. I take that in little pieces. You know why? Because they're so damn violent, Harry. Like I know, they're violent for no reason. And after a while, I'm like, it's like that's why I gave up The Walking Dead. I started, my son and I, when he was younger, we started watching The Walking Dead. About 3 or 4 seasons in, I was like, okay, I've had enough.
The only problem with watching Mexican gangster movies for me is that
it's happening.
I suddenly get the dialect and everything. I start, hey, S.A., what are you doing, man?
It's so stereotypical.
I know. I start doing that the whole time.
Esse.
I go into the office for a couple of days. I'm Mexican. And the people at La Voz be like, what are you doing?
What's wrong with you? Oh, esse.
chale. Simón ese.
Ooh, Papa Chulo. The Mexican gang's gonna come for us now. We got everybody coming for us.
Yeah. No. I'm good. I'm cleared. I'm 1% Mexican in my DNA.
I'm gonna claim some. Even if it's 0.5%, I'm claiming some, Harry. I gotta claim some of it.
You could claim it through me, right? Hey,
yes.
Harry's Mexican. He's joking around.
That's right. That's it. I'm going with that. That is too. Oh my God, Lord have mercy! Don't let me get stopped today. Don't let no Mexicans run up on me for this foolishness today. That's all right. And then I watched Tick Tick Boom, the Jonathan Larson story. Right, you know, he created Rent. Took him so long to create Rent, and then he died. Opening night or something, but it was so good to have that kind of focus. Yeah. Jonathan Larson, you know, he's an aspiring composer. And you know, it just shows you how he was just thinking he might have made the wrong career choice, you know, because all his friends are moving on and they're doing other things. They abandoned their dreams and he didn't want to abandon his dream. And you know, it was good. I really enjoyed it. It's a testament to trusting what you believe in the face of everybody else is making different decisions, because, you know, you grow up or whatever. A lot of Sondheim references, you know, but it was good. It was really, really good. So that was my thing. I watched two good movies this weekend and a lot of romance movies, because, you know, Hallmark. Lifetime, Christmas. La 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 la.
So yeah, I started seeing movies this weekend, and I went 20 minutes in. I'll be like, no, I'm not going. And I would just go back to Dexter.
Oh my God!
Kind of hooked right now on Dexter, and now I'm on book two of Dexter. So I'm watching Dexter, I'm reading Dexter, and it's like messed up.
Mm.
I'm like, you know, he's a superhero. What can I say?
Okay. He's not a superhero. He's a serial killer. there's a definitive difference there. I don't care if he serial kills all the bad people on the planet. It's still killing. And he doesn't get to be the judge, jury, and executioner.
Like I like to say, same difference.
I'm looking forward to seeing Denzel Washington in Lady Macbeth. I'm the tragedy of Macbeth. I'm looking forward to that. It just looks so, gripping, you know. And you know, to see Shakespeare in this modern day and to see it on film with titans, it's just incredible. So I'm looking forward to Frances McDormand and Denzel Washington, and you know, they're already talking you know, Oscar buzz. I don't know if I'm gonna see House of Gucci. I could really pass on that story. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not really, I mean, I dig Lady Gaga, I like Driver, but I'm not really, you know, I can wait for that one. I'm in no rush to see that. You know. Yeah.
Babs, I gotta restart my system. I'm getting a lot of errors and I'm working on something, but I'll be right back.
Okay, be right back. Congratulations to Omar Sangster. He got an award from Dexter Jones and his organization. So high five. Omar cuts my hair, and he was K, who is captain of my glam squad, does my hair color. She was his only student when she had her beauty academy. And he is now a successful barber in his own right. So high five. High five to her. And anyway, that's it. Oh, so yeah, so Harry will be back. And the Museum of African American History has digitized its exhibits. So if you have not had the pleasure of getting yourselves to DC, and I have had that pleasure a few years back, we took my youngest daughter and my girlfriends and I, and we went to DC and we toured the museum and, you know, of course the mall itself, because we saw the MLK statue, which I had wanted to see. So it was really nice to do that. But now you can check it out digitally. So if you don't get a chance to go, it is something. You know, we went and we started in the basement, and it is deliberately low and tight. And you feel, I mean, you're supposed, is supposed to evoke a feeling out of you in that space, in the tightness of the space. And then as you go up layers, you know, into history, you start to see the evolution of Black people. You know, it's an amazing feat, an amazing, it's a beautifully built, done building. It's just very African in its scope and design. But if you can't go to DC and see it in person, take a tour. Take a tour. You know, take a tour. Let's see. Oh, I didn't see this. Lin-Manuel Miranda, Joss Groban, and Sarah Bareilles honored Stephen Sondheim this at a Sunday performance in Times Square. So that was yesterday. So I bet you that was something to behold, because you know that Sondheim songbook is amazing. It is some of the best songs ever put to paper, and I've been listening to, I was listening to all the, like CBS this morning had an interview that Patti LuPone did with him before he died, and he was just so sharp, and he cared about lyrics so much, and he was a true rhymer, a true rhyme of lyrics. So it was just fascinating. And I'm such a Sondheim fan. Everything from Sweeney Todd to West Side. I mean, who doesn't want to sing Nothing's Going to Harm You, Not While I'm Around from Sweeney Todd? Like, who doesn't know that song? Like, that's the most amazing song. Or, you know, West Side Story, Tonight, Tonight. I mean, and all the music in West Side Story. So, I mean, you know, I mean, there's just so much music that people still sing now that is so timely, you know. I missed the Soul Train Awards this weekend. I don't know. It was on my radar, but, you know, if it's on BET, it's on now. Like, it'll be on from now until January. So I'll just do a BET search and I'll just go catch it. But I wanted to see Bruno Mars with Silk Sonic because, you know, they've been doing this whole retro R&B vibe, which I am loving. And I'm so glad that he's just so talented in the way that he's like, I'm going to just do what I want. So it's a wonderful throwback to like a 70s, like a real 70s instrumental sound, like that 70s, like that early Earth, Wind & Fire kind of vibe. I love it. So I'm all about it. I'm all about it. So I'm going to go back and watch the BET Awards. I don't know how I missed it. Ashanti got the Lady Soul Awards. A whole bunch of people got awards. This was a very old school awards, because, you know, and I think all these award shows have been doing that because the American Music Awards did the old school boy bands, you know, New Edition, New Kids on the Block, that kind of thing, right? So, and they're actually touring together, these little boy bands, old boy bands from back in the day. They're touring together. So I'm such a fan of that stuff. So that just tells you how old I am. But I'm there with it. So let's see. What else is going on? Oh, happy Hanukkah to my Jewish brothers and sisters out there. May this season of light guide your path to joy, happiness, and peace. That's what I wanted to say. Oh my gosh. I am going to go see King Richard Wednesday, I think. Andrew and I are going to go have dinner and then see King Richard. I'm a Will Smith fan, but I also an ingenue Ellis fan because one, she's my sorority sister. And ever since Lovecraft Country, I've been in love with her, right? I think even before Lovecraft Country, but her star is rising and she is phenomenal. So I'm gonna go see her be serious black mother in King Richard. Yeah, so Harry and I were talking about Virgil Abloh, who passed away this weekend. You know, he was the men's designer head lead for Louis Vuitton. And he was 41 years old. His star was so bright. I told you, I've been following him along from the beginning. And to somebody to be so young and so prolific and have such leave such a footprint on the fashion industry, which is no easy feat for white folks, let alone a brother, is a thing of amazing. So he had cancer, and it's a rare kind of cancer, but he hung in there as long as he could. And he leaves a wife and some kids. So, but anyway, his star was bright, and his imprint on fashion will be long heralded as one of these stories of legend. That's what I want to say. That his rise is the stuff that dreams are made of and legends are formed. So there you go. There you go. I've not watched Insecure. You know, Markeisha had me watch. I watched, I think, the first three seasons. You know, they just got on my nerves so much. But I think what I'm going to do, because now this show is ending and there's no more shows after this, I will go back and catch up the shows because I just want to see. And I'm a Issa Rae fan. I just don't like that show. But I don't like the show because these young people get on my nerves. But that's okay, because it's about time that we get to see some shows of black folks in its, you know, we see these millennial black folks. So I'm gonna go back and watch it so I can catch up. I'm gonna go back and watch Queen Sugar because I dropped out about season four or five. So I'm gonna go back and catch up with the Borderlones. I'll do that since there's no more of those coming. So I don't have to feel like, oh my God, I have to wait next year for the season. Nope. It's all done. So I'm gonna do that. So those are the two things that I'm committed to. I'm committed to catching up. You know, and I actually dig the Borderlones. I just got a little exhausted by them. So, but I'm gonna go back now that I know I can just, you know, watch a week and be done. You know. Yeah. So what else is going on? Yeah, I'm just doing my thing on a Monday. It seems like it's a little brighter outside. Saturday was Small Business Saturday, but I suspect that people are small business shopping from now until Christmas. At least I hope they will. And there's a bunch of small businesses and boutiques that I dig. I'm a huge fan of Dwell and Idiom. I'm a huge fan of Bloom. You know this. I'm a huge fan of Odeon in the Westville Village. I like small businesses. I always have. And particularly if you're gift hunting and you just, I you know, my mall days are way behind me. I don't go to the mall for jack. I think if I go to the mall, only be to go to Nordstrom's because I love Nordstrom's. But I haven't been to Nordstrom's in years, and so it's unlikely that I will make the trek. But that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. I'm a small business girl. So, and New Haven has quite a few little places where you can find interesting gifts and do some shopping and get gifts that other people don't have. So if you want to give a very thoughtful gift, find your way to one of these little boutiques downtown or in Westville and, you know, that kind of thing. And that's all I'm going to say. So follow me. Follow me and do what I do. And I don't have a lot of gift giving to do this year. You know, I spent a lot of gift giving when my children were little. Now they're not little, so they don't, you know, they don't want toys. They don't need anything, you know. So and I'll be in Newport for Christmas. So, and I'm so looking forward to that. I have not been to Newport in quite some time. And where we're staying is right on the water. So it'll be cold and on the water and, you know, New England. So that's, you know, it'll be what it'll be. And then we roll out again in February for Valentine's Day to Dominica. Dominica, one of the. So get a little island time in. And then I think hopefully springtime in Paris. You know, we'll see. I'm hoping. We'll see. I'm hoping. That's the idea. That's the plan. So we'll see what happens. That's the plan. So far so good. It looks like good plans are you know. I'm going into New York Saturday to see Slave Play, which I know I'm going to hate. I'm going to hate it on so many levels. I hate the title. I hate the concept. But I'm going because my girlfriend, Jeon Chang, is the lighting director for this play. And I love her work. And I want to support her work. So I've already seen her work in Long Wharf Theater's The Chinese Lady, which was beautiful and brilliant. I saw her work at the Shakespeare in the Park in Central Park this summer. I saw her work. So I'm a fan of her and her talent. So I'm going to go see her work in The Slave Play, which got shut out of the Tonys, but she went and she looked amazing. And her husband runs Lyman Center. I met him for the Arts Awards. When we did our fun thing. And if you have not checked out the Arts Award, go to the Arts, Greater New Haven Arts Facebook page and look at the Arts Award. It was so much fun. I enjoyed the red carpet. I think maybe I got one more year of red carpet and then they'll get somebody else to do it. But I hope to do it one more year because it's my favorite thing to do. I don't want to be the MC. I just want to hold court on the red carpet and talk to people and be hyped up and that kind of thing. That's all I want to do. So yeah. But anyway, her husband is the Lyman, runs the Lyman Center. And I met him because he came up and he introduced himself to me. And he's like, "We have somebody in common." And I was like, "Who?" You know, people run up to me. People run up on me with all kinds of stuff. And there's that. So it was delightful. She wasn't there because they have a kid, so she had to be home with the baby. But he was there overseeing our arts awards. And we had a good time. That was a fun night. Fun. So we're coming up on the 10 o'clock hour. And I don't know if Harry's going to queue up PSAs or what we're going to do. But any minute now. We're going to do the call letters and then probably some PSAs, because COVID is still very rampant. And now that, you know, we're going through the Greek alphabet. So now we're up to Omicron. So, and then people get, you know, people need to get vaccinated. And now people need to get boosted, because the vaccine wears off 6 to 7 months. No, it weakens, not wears off, but weakens. So boosters are needed. People need to get boosters just so that you can get through the next 6-7 months, because this thing is still killing people. And the numbers are rising here in Connecticut. Like, our numbers are rising. We're having more people die in the hospital, more people going to the hospital. So there are some things that we need to do. And Connecticut is one of the states that's at the top of the list of spread. We were one of the first states to immunize more people, but for whatever reasons, we don't have everybody vaccinated. So the virus is spreading and our numbers are up, particularly here in New Haven. So we've got some more work to do. People need to get boosted, because I'm gonna tell you something. You don't want to get this. You don't want to be intubated. You don't want to be on a ventilator. And everybody's like, oh, I'm healthy. No, you're not. This virus is an equal opportunity killer. It is a killer. It does not care of how healthy you think you are. It is a killer, and it will come for you. And even if you don't get sick, you could be carrying it and spreading it to other people. So just, you know, people get vaccinated. Think about your fellow humans, you know. If you're vaccinated, get your booster. If you're not vaccinated, get vaccinated. You can walk into any place these days and get vaccinated, you know. So, and as I age, I am acutely aware of how fragile my body is. Acutely aware. So I'm going to have my shingle shot. I'm going to have my tetanus shot. I'm going to have all the things, because I like to live long and prosperous. So anyway, so I don't know if Harry queued up the call letters and the PSA. And once that happens, I'm going to give me some more coffee. Give me some more coffee that I made. I got up this morning and made some coffee. Now I got to grind some more beans. And I've got some Colombian beans, and I got some Jamaican beans. So I'm going to grind those over the next couple of days and put them in the freezer so I can have some. So I'm just saying. So Harry, are we doing the call letters? What are we doing? Hi.
You did a good PSA. Harry, are we doing the call letters? Oh, geez, I'm listening to you on the radio. You did a good job doing the PSA, so I'm not playing those PSAs.
But... I thought you were. You got to do the call letters or something.
Do the call letters. So we'll do the call letters and we'll take a music break. And hopefully I'll be back. I have to do some updates. So I'm freaking, you know, struggling.
Don't struggle. Don't be stressed. All good.
Hi, this is Babs Rawls Ivy from New Haven, Connecticut, and you're listening to WNHHLP 103.5 FM, streaming live at newhavenindependent.org.
director Marik Sabond. Do you want your life back? Get vaccinated. I did. Got questions about the vaccines? Did you know that there's a place you can go and get the answers and the facts about the vax? Check it out. Then you decide. New Haven. Get the facts facts. It's free and it's your choice. To get the vax facts or to find a vaccination center near you, visit covid19.newhavenct.gov. Again, covid19.newhavenct.gov. Stay safe.
Hi, I'm Emil. Want your life back?
Get vaccinated. We did.
Got questions about the vaccine? Talk to your fam. And fill your drinks.
To get back to life, get the vax. It's free, and it's your choice. To get the facts or two, find a vaccine center near you. Visit bit.ly/NHVCOVIDFacts. That's bit.ly/NHVCOVIDFacts.
Hola, soy Emil. ¿Quieres recuperar tu vida?
Vacúnate. Nosotros lo hicimos.
¿Tienes preguntas sobre la vacuna? Habla con tu familia.
Oye, usa tu máscara. Yo lo hago.
Para recuperar tu vida, vacúnate. Es gratis y es tu elección. Para obtener información sobre la vacuna o para encontrar un centro de vacuna cerca de ti, ve a bit.ly/NHVCOVIDFacts.
Yeah. don't belong. Sometimes I wish I wasn't born. Crying tears, bear me compassion. Oh, I wish they could come true when I need them the most. Oh.
Listen, I was sitting here. Oh, let me just say this too, Harry. It is the season of Advent, so we are in the season of Advent on the waiting of Christ. So I just wanted to put that out there because I shouted out the Hanukkah, Happy Hanukkah, but Advent, which is perhaps one of my favorite times. You know, in the liturgical calendar, Advent is my favorite time. So I love this time. Christmas is my favorite time of year. You know, I get all hyped up.
Yeah. It's pretty good. I like it too. I like to see the kids happy and, you know, joyous and wait, you know, the spirit of hope, right?
Yes. Yes.
You know, you see people who are usually miserable for some reason be of cheer this time of season.
Yep. So, you know, love, hope, peace, and joy. Or hope, love, joy, and peace. That's, you know, you light the candles and, you know, up until the...
I like to call it the season of faking it until you make it. That's what people try to do. They put on the happy face. But I guess, you know.
Well, I don't I'm not with the fake it part, but I do believe in behaving your way into whatever it is you want or need. Behave that way. Behave your way into what matters or what is important to you. So if this is the season of hope and love, behave as if you are in love. Behave yourself, behave your way into joy, behave your way into peace, behave your way. That's what I know.
I think people don't want to get cold under the tree.
They don't get cold?
Yeah, cold.
Who's bringing cold, Harry?
Santa. You're not going to tell me there's not a Santa.
Oh, no, I'm with you with the Santa thing, Harry. Listen, you know, how am I going to rock with Godzilla and not have Santa? What? Come on.
That's right. That's right.
I'm down with the Santa story. And I love that there's all these, you know, international Santas, all kinds of Santas. Finally. You know, malls are putting black Santas in and Asian Santas, right? Because Santa, kids don't care. Kids like that Santa. he could be purple Santa. They don't care. It's like, oh, Santa.
There's a Santa for all of us, right? Because you have, how often do you see rich Santa go to a poor neighborhood? You don't see it, right? Poor Santa comes and he gives you
Poor Santa?
Yeah, because poor Santa gives you the type of gifts that your family could afford, right? And the middle class Santa shows up. He never brings, like, you, like when you go, when you see on those commercials, there's a Lexus tied up in a bowl. Santa never brings that to a middle class family, right? So that's rich Santa. So there's a Santa for all of them.
You have lost your mind.
I'm saying
I'm not going with class division Santa. I'm not going with that Santa, Harry. There's one Santa to their making, but I'm not going with that Santa. And who's to say poor people want a Lexus? That's an assumption. I don't want a Lexus. You know why I don't want a Lexus? Because I don't want to pay the taxes on that joker. This doesn't mean I can't get one. I don't want to pay the taxes on it or the upkeep. And I have more important things than a Lexus. Not because I'm poor, but because that's just not the thing that I would want.
That's true. I saw that when, you remember when they used to do build a house on, I forgot what the name of the show was, but ABC had this show where they would build a house for a family. And a lot of those families ended up having to sell it because they couldn't afford it. That's why I'm saying. So Santa's the same way. Santa wants to make sure the gifts he gives you are within your means. You know?
Yes. Well, okay. Yeah. I have to go back and talk about behavior way into situations. Yeah, I got a text from somebody.
Reversed.
So I got to go back and clear. I can go back and talk a little bit, expand on that thought, Harry. So I have this, you know, I have this thing where I believe I behave my way into whatever it is I need and want, right? So it backs up against to my belief of give what you need. So if I feel like I'm at a lacking place, whatever it is I think I'm lacking, I go give it. So that is behaving my way into, I mean, that I only live by a couple of things, right? I walk in truth. I don't lie. I give what I need and I behave my way into whatever it is I need in those moments so that I'm never in a place of woe is me. I'm never in a place of, I just don't know what to do. I'm never in that place. I used to be in that place. I'm not in that place anymore. So I just behave my way into, and it's not faking it I don't like faking it until I make it. I don't like that. I like to be authentic in all things. So I don't believe in faking it, but I do believe in, if I want joy, then I must be joyous, behave joyously. If I want happiness, behave happily. If you want peace, behave peacefully. Behave your way into whatever it is so that it becomes your the way that you are. It becomes not just a habit, but it becomes how you show up. It becomes the way you show up, you know, and that's what I like, you know. So, and the Course in Miracles says, you know, in any relationship, it's not what it's what you're not giving that is lacking. And I'm a fan of the Course in Miracles. So in any relationship, what is lacking is because you're not giving it, you know? So before you turn it on somebody else, they're not giving me what I want. You know, are you giving you what you want? You know, behave your way into something, give what you need. And that has served me once I had those, when I realized that was my way to see the world a little differently and my place in it. So yes. So I give what I need. So that if I feel like I'm without money, I go give money. If I feel like, you know, I'm a little desperate, I address what that desperation looks like and go, you know, deal with that. So give what you need.
You know, I think that's basic common decency too, right? So
Harry.
And science too, right? It's all about the energy you put out is the energy
that's
you
right.
receive, right?
Yes.
So,
and I don't know why people don't get that, but they don't.
Karma, for those people who believe in karma, you're going to get whatever you put out, however you treat other people, expect to receive that in return. You know, I always used to put it in a different form, right? Because in the Bible it says, treat people the way you want to be treated. Now, I always took it and flipped it, and I would say, I'm going to treat people the way they're showing me they want to be treated, right? So if you were a grumpy person.
Yeah, but you know what? If you meet a grumpy person, Harry, then that does that mean you treat them grumpily?
Yeah, well, that's what I used to do. I used to say, okay, I'm gonna give you the whatever you give me. So it's because you want it, right? Because I never used to initiate anything.
But right? You've and changed.
I've changed.
Now that's no longer your thinking.
No, no way, no longer my thinking. That was mean, Harry.
Because I'm like, that takes a lot of energy, Harry, to meet people with the same energy. Oh, that's too much.
It took a lot of energy, and that was probably my key change, right? And I don't know if it was laziness or enlightenment, right? So, because I did realize being mean took a lot of energy. It took a lot more energy than being calm. So I don't know if I just said, oh, I'm tired of being me. You know, and I said, I'm tired of being me. I'm lazy. I'm not going to do that no more. You know, or was it enlightenment? And I said, you know what? I need to be better.
I think it's enlightenment.
Or laziness.
Or laziness. I'm going to take a enlightenment, Alex, for 2000.
I know. It's like in my relationship, right? In the beginning of my relationship, I was the most jealous person in the world. I didn't allow Karen to breathe. The oxygen in the room went out when I walked in, and there was something that I perceived I should be jealous about, you know? So, and then I realized, wow.
I'm crazy. Let me fix this.
Not only am I crazy, but wow, I'm exhausted at the end of the day.
Yes, it's exhausting, Harry, to try to put somebody under your thumb.
Yeah, emotionally exhausted. I mean, spent and raw. How was I good for anybody? Even how was I good for myself? I wasn't good for anything. So that's what I'm saying. At some point, I realized what you could say is enlightenment, but at the same time, I was like, I'm tired. I need a break from me.
I tell you what, I watched. You know, I'm not so much a TikTok fan, but I've been watching these little videos of these test of wills with these in these relationships where people are like the whatever the significant other is, will roll up on their significant other, like, give me your phone and your password. When I first saw it, I was like, I'm not understanding any of this. What is happening here? And I guess, Harry, that's some mark of commitment or trust to hand over your cell phone and the code to your significant other so they could go through it.
Right.
And I remember when I was married, I never used to lock my phone. If my husband picked up my phone, he'd just see whatever, you know. And then my kids were like, "Man, you gotta lock your phone because, you know, you could lose it and all your information is out there." So I started locking my phone, but I don't understand this whole. So you want to see my phone because you don't trust me, or you think there's some other? I don't understand these displays of that kind of mistrust or. Well, my mind does not allow me to sort of. I would never ask my significant other for their damn phone to check it. It just would not occur to me. Harry, who has the energy?
Well, let me tell you, it's a lot of energy, but people do it.
I know people do it. I've seen a whole bunch of videos with this, and people get mad and upset and arguing. And I'm thinking, what the hell?
It's not about not trusting the other person. I mean, I realize that probably a couple of years late. You know, for Karen, I mean, I feel sorry for her having to deal with me like that. But you know, the people who are doing that, it's that they don't, it's not that they don't trust the other person. It's that they don't trust themselves. They're insecure. They're everything. They're actually, when they look at the other person and don't and think they don't see trust or anything, they're just putting a mirror in front of themselves and seeing all their insecurities.
Mm, I like that. So, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's all about that. It's not about the other person. It's not. It's all about you. And all
because I just think, Harry, if you, I think you know if somebody's trustworthy or not. Like there's red flags and I mean along the way. I mean I don't know.
The thing is, I think
a phone ain't gonna be the only thing you'll see.
Right.
If somebody is distrustful.
I trust my wife. I don't trust anybody. Right. 100%. I just don't. Because that's the way I'm built. Right. So, but if I trust anybody in this world, it's my wife. Does that mean she can't step out on me or she can't? No, it doesn't mean that. But that's beyond my control, and me searching her stuff and doing this is not going to stop it from happening.
Right. That's how I feel, Harry. Yeah, I don't have the energy for it. I watch video after video of this. And I'm thinking to myself, what is going on here? I was like, a simple conversation, a simple, I don't understand these, this whole, I think you're right. I don't think it's about any of that. I think it's somebody's insecurity about.
Yeah, it's all about.
Insecurity. I'm going to lay my heart out. I don't want to get trampled. So therefore I must check you because.
Right. And the thing is that if they do step out on you, it's not anything you could control. I mean, if you bust them, that's what's in your control. Once you busted them, and that's within your control, whether you're going to leave them, whether you're going to work on your relationship, that's the only thing that's in your control. But trying to control everything else is exhausting, and it kills your spirit and the spirit of the person you're stalking.
Yeah, I don't have that kind of I'm not built like that. I never was built that way.
I was built that way.
I think I've almost been accused of just not caring, and it's not that, Harry. I just, like, if people tell me X, I'm gonna believe their X. Right? If they tell me Y, I'm gonna believe their Y. If they tell me Q, I'm gonna believe their Q. I'm not going to go around the block to see if their X is really their X or their Y is their Y or their Q. I never had the energy for that. Never. And I think that's probably why I was, you know, I always got the, you don't care. I was like, what do you mean? I can't be checking on you. Checking? You can't check yourself. I got to check on you. I got to question you. I got to question you about your whereabouts. Like, if you say you went to hang out with your boys, I have to question you about that? Why? And you think that's a mark of me caring about you if I'm interrogating you about your whereabouts? I'm not doing that mess. Who has time?
Well, the thing is that, like, Karen and I sit right next to each other, and I put my cell phone on a base, right, where it's turned towards me and her, right? Every text that comes in, Harry doesn't read. But Karen reads it because it goes, bloop. And she's like, oh, you know, like, oh, that's Babs. You're not going to answer her? And I'll be like, nope.
No.
Oh, that's Paul. You're going to answer? You know, because I get the preview of the message. You know, it gives me like the first four lines or two lines of your message. So I know whether it's important or not. So, nope, I'm not answering that either. I'm like, especially, like yesterday, Joe Ugly called.
Oh!
On a Sunday, in the afternoon. And she's like,
Is there a problem with that?
She muted the TV and she's like, you're not going to pick it up? I'm like, no, he could call me tomorrow. She's like, okay, you're cool. I'm like, so, but I'm saying nothing in my phone is secret.
and everything. And she, you know, she doesn't go through my phone or anything like that. But of course, she doesn't have to because everything comes is right in front of us.
I think when you have that, Harry, that there is some insecure. There's a great deal of insecurity there, and I don't, you know. And if you're with somebody that you have to monitor, then you have to ask yourself, why are you with that person? If you feel, you know, like what is that about? You know, and it might not be about that person, Harry. It might be two or three relationships ago. You know what I mean? Like where somebody cheated on you or walked out on you.
Usually about you. It's usually, yeah. That's what I'm saying. But now if you have a history with the person cheating on you, that's a totally different.
Yeah, that's a whole different. That, you know what, that's a whole other different psychosis.
Yeah, that's a totally different thing. And you should probably suspect the person and all of this stuff. Because
but if you're suspecting somebody, that's a good, I would go so far as to say that that's not a person for you.
I disagree with that. It's just, it's you, you have to.
Yeah, you're right. It's you. It might not even be that person. It's you. Yeah. You have to figure out for yourself what it is you need, yeah, want, and can tolerate.
Why do you feel that way? What's right. making you feel that way? Has that person actually given you a reason to not trust them? A lot of people, it's just control. It's about control.
Yeah, it is a control issue.
Because in my life, I've seen a lot of nasty stuff, you know, in my life. And the men I grew up with were whores, you know. They didn't have a stable relationship. They used to treat women horribly and everything. So it was about me figuring out all my scars and saying, hey, listen, you don't have to ever be that. You don't ever have to be. You grew up that way, but that wasn't a man. That's not what you define as a man. So go and make yourself the man you think they should have been. You know, so, and that's the thing, because I had horrible role models. Horrible role models. So it was really, you know, breaking that cycle, but it was me having to do it. Nobody's going to help me out of it. You have to actually work on yourself.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's true.
But you have to actually see that in yourself. You have to wake up and say, hey, it's not this person's fault. It's not that person's fault. It's you for following that. Break the cycle. Move away from that.
Yes.
You know, you're not going to teach your son to be that. Is that what you want? For your son to be scarred like you? No. You're going to teach your son how to be a man. And a man that you would look up to so that he could look up to. You know, so, it, you know, it's a lot of work. But it makes you
you feel better, right, as the man you are now and not the man you were.
Of course. And trying to figure out why I was like that, especially knowing, you know, I always said, I've never made an unconscious decision, right? Whenever I was bad, I knew I was being bad. You know, a lot of people go, oh, I was just on autopilot. I was this. No. I always was clear-minded when I was being bad. So, yeah, if I got into a fight, I wanted that fight. So that's the thing. So it was, I said to myself, you have no excuses. You're not a stupid person that can't stop yourself. Everything you do is because you want to do it. Nobody forces you to do anything in your life. So why are you doing this? And then having to sit and judge yourself over it. Simple.
That's very wise. That's very wise, Harry. This is why, friends, I love Harry Drews, because he has done this work. And not just talking it, he walks it. I love it. But that's true. And that's the work of all of us. That's the work of all of us.
It is. It's just actually a lot of us take those baby steps all our lives because we don't fully open our eyes. We know the direction we should be going in, right? Everybody's following the yellow brick road, trying to find the Wizard of Oz to save them. But like the Scarecrow and all, they, oh no, you already had a brain. You decided. You know, you already had a heart because you're feeling the pain that you're putting yourself, you know, in. Well, every day you put yourself through this stuff. You're feeling the pain, you know, and then with Dorothy, all you want to do is go home, right? You want to go to a safe and kind, humble home. Well, create it. Go home. Don't stay stuck on that yellow brick road, you know?
So that's it's like, it.
You know, so it's just, it's a game, you know, and then, of course, the lion, you got to have courage, but we, just to live, you need courage.
This is true. This is very true.
There you go. And that's my TED Talks on the Wizard.
That's a good TED Talk, Harry. That's a good TED Talk. That's a damn good TED Talk. I put it up against any TED Talk out there.
No, you,
I would.
But you know what? You're right. I have done so much work. I've done all the work on myself. And it's because, you know, a lot of times it's your motivation when you look at other people. And that's why I always failed, right? I looked at other people and I said, oh, why can't I be this? Why do they have the ability to do that? And it was always just, it's like just literally, and this is something I told Karen all the way through it. It's literally looking at a movie and hoping you were in the movie when you're literally in the movie, right? So
yes.
you're there and you're sitting at the movie theater not realizing that you're part of the movie. And the only way for you to have that happy ending is to build your character up to be the hero in the movie. You know, and a lot of us just sit there and watch, and a lot of us, and it's basically the movie is your life. So you watch your life fly before your eyes and you're going, man, why this, why that, why this? Instead of getting up and building your own character to be that superhero in your own movie.
Exactly.
You know?
I love that. That is so good, Harry. I love that. Because I am the superhero in my own movie. I get
it. You have to be. You have to be.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be. Because it's always watching somebody else's life and expecting your life to change gets you nowhere.
It's like drinking poison and hoping somebody else dies.
That's right.
Don't do it. This is your life. Get in it. Get in it. Get in it. And you know what else drives me mad? And I used to do this too. Well, when I will do this. When I lose weight, when I get a job, when I have more money, and that's just a put off. Do you know what I mean? Like that's a delay.
Well, right. But and that's me. I'm the great procrastinator, right? So, I've always done that because I'm where I put myself. You're never where you want to be if you're a procrastinator, right? You're where you place yourself in life. You're the one doing the placing, right? So I could, if I did that, if I did this, or when I do that, or when I do that, oh, I could be this, I could be, but it's where you place yourself. And I'm placed exactly where I want to be placed, right? And I stop lying to myself about that when or if I decided, okay, this is where I'm placing myself and I have to be satisfied with that placement or I have to change it.
Yes, exactly. 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 Yeah. That's how I roll, Harry. That's how I roll.
Yeah, you know, I was having this conversation at Thanksgiving with my brother-in-law.
Uh-oh. Ooh, how'd that go?
And he
did he hear you?
Oh, no, no, my brother-in-law is a good guy, but we were talking, because we were talking about our lives and church and everything. Because I always say church saved my life, right? So when I decided to become born again, it's like, is when I decided to start taking the steps outside of where my life was going, which, mm-hmm. which, you know, I had, like, I have friends in jail, dead, and because of the lives we were leading. So when I decide to exit, start making the exit, it took me a long time. It's not that easy to just say, oh, I just exited, and oh, hey, and now I'm Harry, the Harry I am today. It's not like that. It took a long process, but we were talking about those steps and everything. And it's funny because he was basically taking notes too, because he was like,
I'm gonna tune in every day. He'd get a bit. He'd get some of this every day.
because he's still in church. He preaches and stuff, and he was just saying, "Man, I never heard it like that. Oh man, the way you just phrased that. Oh, I'm gonna use that in preaching. I'm gonna use that. And the thing is that it's funny because I am an agnostic right now, right? But fully engulfed in the Christian way of life. I try to live my life clean and not mess with my focus when it comes to being a good husband and father and grandfather now. And so when I look at my life, what worked for me? What worked for me? Christianity. Christianity worked for me. It helped me get focused and out. Of course, then I found a lot of faults in my Christian beliefs, so that's why I'm an agnostic now. But to ever, you know, to go against Christianity and tell people not to follow or not to seek, that's insane. It saved me. Why would I do right. that to somebody else? You know, so I have another brother-in-law who's an atheist who goes really hard against Christians and basically poops all over their parade. And I'm always telling him, what's wrong with you? The person you are, he's an atheist now, but he used to be a Christian too. We all grew up in the same, we were in the church and everything. And he's like, I hate it because I judge myself so hard. And I'll never stop judging yourself now. Wait.
Like behave your way into a different yeah. a different existence. What's like stop it.
You know, so it's just like so weird the way people go about that. We feel the same way, right? That we're away from the church, but he's angry at the church
yes.
for doing something that helped him in life. He'll say to this day, yeah, well, yeah, of course. If I wasn't a Christian, then I would have been probably dead or in jail. Start there.
Right. And you know that it doesn't mean you got to go to church every Sunday. It just means you take what you need. Take what you need and leave the rest by the side of the road.
You don't have to do any of that, right? You don't have to go to church at all.
No, but just take what you need from yeah. from the foundation of things and apply it to wherever it needs to apply. You don't have to take the whole package.
Right, right. And when I'm having conversations with him or when we do a group text and everything and we're talking about, hey, do you have this Christian book that we used to read? Or, hey, do you have that album of that group that we used to listen to when we were in church? He's one of them participating in that conversation. But he hates it. And it's like, come on, take the monkey on his back is anger. And I don't know, how can you live that long with it? I got rid of it as soon as I could. You know, I was like, eject, eject. I can't fly the skies of anger all my life. Oh my God.
Well, I mean, you know, Harry, it might be some deep-rooted thing that happened to him that he has not shared.
Yeah,
I mean, as a result of that. And, you know, everybody has that come to Jesus moments. You know, those moments where, you know, or the dark night of the soul, as we like to say in spiritual direction. You have these moments where, you know, he's got to get to the truth of his anger. He's got to get to the truth of that. What is that for you? But, you know, like, maybe he can't talk about it just yet, but maybe he got to talk about it with himself, though. You got to get to the heart of it.
You know, I mean, oof. That yeah, and come to Jesus, no pun intended. For him, it's come to Bob.
Because we all have these dark night of the souls. Like, okay, all right, let's rise. Come on now, rise. Get whatever it is you're dealing with, whatever you think you're carrying, you can put it down. Put it down on the altar of the community, and y'all are his community. So y'all have created a safe space. So that's the altar. Put your burdens in, and you know, and nobody's got to like judge you or tell you what to do. But sometimes in just putting your burden down is the thing to do. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe that is the first step. Like, you know what? This is what it is. Let me put it down and see how much lighter you feel in your life. What's right? Lighter?
That's the thing, right? Because he has this group of friends that how often do you have friends that you've been friends with 45 years?
That's what I mean. You guys are tried and trusted.
Yeah. It's like, so
y'all ain't new.
Right. He's able to spill his soul to us, and he does, but then he just doesn't let it go. That's the hard part, letting go. I mean, it's like he's,
you know, sometimes up. Harry, people can't let stuff go because they don't know who they are if they do.
The pain is who they are. They think that's who they are.
You know, they don't recognize themselves without whatever that burden is. It has become part of their persona and their personality. Do you ever meet people, Harry? I swear to God, well, I used to run a divorce support group. I ran this thing for 10 years in my church. And I would tell you time and time again, I would have people come to the support group. And you know, Harry, when I first understood the power of a support group, I used to listen to people's divorce stories. And it felt like it just happened yesterday, Harry. And come to find out, it was 10 years ago or 5 years ago or 2 years ago. And you sit there and you're like, you have been carrying this pain for all this time, like this anger and this abandonment and all these things. And it has prevented you from living your life fully because you are stuck in a story that serves you on some level, but it doesn't serve you enough to grow you out of whatever this pain is. And I would be stunned by the people. I remember this woman told a story. Her husband treated her bad, married some other chick. It was 10, he on wife number 4. She was wife number 1. And you would have thought, Harry, they got divorced yesterday. She's like, well, it's 10 years. I can't let him get away. I was like, girl, he done married 3 other women after you. Like, get away. Whew. I was just like, I was stunned. I was really stunned by the way that people carry pain in their bodies, in their hearts. And it colors everything that they do.
You know, that's why I feel I always felt I have an advantage. Maybe it's an unfair advantage. But some people see it as something they have to carry too on their back. So I don't carry it on my back. I see it as a blessing. My disassociation disorder. I disassociate with stuff. I mean, I always did it, but the way I used to cope with it was anger.
Mm.
Right? So now, I mean, I learned how to put it into freaking, like,
its own compartment.
Yeah, like a sack, and just bury it somewhere. And it's like, and as I get older, I don't remember where I put that. So it never comes back to haunt me. It used to. All of that stuff used to come back to haunt me. It used to go away, come back, and say, hey, you feel like being angry, you feel like being jealous and everything. And I used to always have to be like, yeah, that's not going to happen again. That's not me. I'm not going to do it. Yeah, I'm not doing it. And I would have to talk myself into no. But now those things never show up anymore.
That's right, because you behaved in such a way that it is no longer needed. You no longer need those emotions to fuel you to your future. Yep. You don't. It's like, you know what? I'm not that person. I've changed. I behaved my way into the kind of Harry that I want, and nothing is going to disturb that peace.
Yeah, I mean, but let me tell you, it used to disturb it. I used to disturb everybody's peace. Nobody had peace around me.
Well, I like this Harry. I like this version of Harry. This is a good version of Harry. All right, Anru is on tomorrow, so we're gonna get us some Orisha love tomorrow with Anru at 10:15. And so y'all, if you're feeling you want to talk to the ancestors and get you some ancestor love, tune in tomorrow 10:15. I mean, I'll be here at 9, of course. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, prepare yourself for that woosah in the 10:15 hour. Whew. You could exhale.
Yes. Get your week right.
Yeah.
So we'll see y'all.
Yeah, we got to get out. We really do have to get out. So
yeah, we got to go. Thanks, Gary Winfield, Senator.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Hi, this is Babs Rawls Ivy from New Haven, Connecticut, and you're listening to WNHHLP 103.5 FM, streaming live at newhaven.org.